Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're looking at how CFOs are reshaping the enterprise landscape. With a multitude of decisions and priorities, from payments modernization to fraud and risk mitigation, CFOs face a challenging array of responsibilities. Joining me today to delve into the obstacles they encounter and take a look at how technology is coming to their aid is Jeff Feuerstein, SVP of PayMode X Product Management and Market Strategy at Bottomline, and James Wester, Co-Head of Payments at Javelin Strategy and Research. It's great to have you both here. Jeff, you're having many conversations with CFOs. What's on their agenda?
So when we talk to CFOs, we hear really three key themes. We hear payments modernization, or if you will, the search for digital transformation. How do we turn paper checks into electronic payments? How do we turn those paper invoices or even those email PDFs into data that we can use or leverage? CFOs are asking often about fraud and risk mitigation. You know, recent research shows business email compromise has grown over 70% just year over year. And fraud is riddling organizations in a way where CFOs are concerned about it's not if, but when we're going to get hit with some sort of an attack. And how do we protect ourselves and our businesses? And lastly, CFOs are, you know, just concerned about the entire interest rate environment, the economy, understanding their cash position, and how do they use working capital. They're looking for ways to manage the environment with the best solutions that are out there and trying to keep their organizations up to speed with the latest technology.
And just to weigh in on that, I think we're hearing a lot of the same things, but I think what's really surprising coming up a little bit from the CFO level is the discussions we're having actually involve CFOs. And by that, I mean, oftentimes in the past, CFOs were tangentially involved with discussions about technology, especially payments, but not in a way where they necessarily either A, made decisions, or B, had really informed opinions about that. And now we are seeing more discussions where when we would go in and talk with a partner or a client, an end user, oftentimes CFOs might be there, but they wouldn't necessarily have a whole lot to discuss other than, you know, these are the things that we want to pay attention to. We want to pay attention to lowering costs. We want to pay attention to revenue. But now they're coming into these discussions very informed with real concerns that they can articulate, and also with a real understanding of what's going on in the space. So just seeing that chief financial officer now in a discussion talking about things that used to be sort of, you know, relegated to the CIO, CTO, VP of tech, somebody like that, seeing CFOs in the room and as informed as they are has really shifted things a lot, I think, for the partner side. They now need to be able to speak that language a lot better. They now need to be able to have that discussion. And also for analysts like me, we need to be able to make sure that we're helping them understand, you know, what the data says, where things are going, where the partner side is going, where their competitors might be going. So I think that's what has made this a very interesting time in this space.
But you're pointing to a shift in the role from just the end user to really a more of a decision maker, and not just like even the approver, right? It's, you know, can we afford this technology? Yeah, like that used to be the CFO. Now they're asking for the technology. They're asking for the solutions that improve their team's business. And they're much more a part of the entire process to, you know, select new software and technology.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's funny, actually. I mean, I don't know if you remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when there used to be that discussion between, you know, we have tech on one side, we have the business on the other side. And it was always sort of in quotes, the business is over here and technology is over there, with the idea being that, you know, there sometimes needed to be somebody in the middle who could speak both. I speak business, I speak tech. And now you're seeing that for the most part, I mean, there are still times where that divide exists, but when it comes to the CFO role, or when it comes to even other roles within the financial world, so even accounting or coming from treasury, cash management, any of those functions, now you're seeing a really, really good understanding of what's going on in the technology side.
Yeah, great.
It sounds like, you know, the finance office has become so much more complex over the last 10 years. Jeff, what challenges are they coming up against, you know, based on your experience and again, what you're hearing in the market?
Building off of what we were just talking about, you can see, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the market was very focused and the users in finance were very focused on their ERP as the general ledger. There were not as many what I'd call point solutions. Right? Today, you've got a number of different point solutions, whether it be AP automation, AR automation, accounts receivable automation, that cash management product James was talking about, cross-border solutions. There's a rise in just treasury management across the CFO office. Leveraging all of these solutions, tying them together in a way where the data makes sense and is interoperable across the organization, and leveraging them, you know, for not just the efficiencies that improve the CFO office, but really bring, you know, revenue to the bottom line is a big driver. And I think just on top of that, you've got these point solutions and then the business intelligence that sits across that and the other solutions around the business, whether it be your procure to pay products, your contract management products, et cetera. So, you know, the office has become more complex because there's many more solutions to be offered. And, you know, the CFO's responsibility now to understand how these products can be leveraged throughout the company are, it's just a greater responsibility for sure.
I'm sure you guys are seeing this too. The idea that within the CFO's office and within that side of the business also, you're going to have power users that are going to use things that might not have been touched at one point. Now the expectation is that power user, that person who's going to really look for features that you might not have thought would have been interesting in the CFO's world, they now want that. And not only that, but they want access to it. They want those features to be, they're interested in the user experience. They're interested in how much contact can they have with the partner on it? How much are they going to be able to ask for things going forward in terms of, you know, modules they might be able to use, or looking at business intelligence, how much can they actually touch the data and what can they do with it? Which again, I find it interesting because that's where a lot of insights too come from, because they are, I think they're looking at it in a different angle than somebody who's coming at the data from, say, you know, either the technology or the data side or even the payment side or whatever. Now they're coming at it and they're looking at that data and they're saying, we actually need something that is maybe a little bit different. And then again, going even back to the idea that they're really well informed, they know that that stuff can be done. They know that they should be able to get that from a partner. And that's how they're judging those partners, is they're saying, well, we know you should be able to deliver something in the business intelligence realm. We want that. So it's kind of holding the partner side, it holds their feet to the fire a little bit as well, because they now have an entire new constituency that they have to deliver to that's, you know, using that data in a really important way.
The bar has certainly been raised for the partner, right? The competitive landscape Yep. is tougher than ever. I think the opportunity though for those partners to work with customers who are informed is, it's a great opportunity where we can meet them where they are. We understand what solutions we need to bring to them. We understand, you know, when you've got that right partner who wants to elevate their game, those are the types of customers that you look for, right? Where, you know, you can listen and then you can elevate how you're doing things. So I'm with you, like the challenge in the marketplace, if you are one of these point solutions, is tougher than ever, but it's a fun opportunity to be going after.
You've both touched upon this a bit already, you know, but we're seeing more CFOs leverage technology, particularly to like help them with the demands of the day, to combat the economic uncertainty and to drive growth. Jeff, you know, how are they leveraging technology? And to take that a step further, we've been hearing so much about artificial intelligence. How does AI fit into the picture?
It's a bit cliche, but like no longer are these finance teams cost center for the organization. You know, I think both James and I have talked about how the payment strategies out of the CFO's office is driving not just new product innovation, but driving the AP automation and driving revenue back into the organization, whether it be through virtual card, a premium ACH product, a financial, financing solution, you know, all of these solutions are driving revenue back into the organization, as well as driving automation and really best-in-class processes for those organizations. So the CFOs that are leveraging technology the right way are leading with great payment strategies and then bringing efficiency along with it. I think when it comes to AI, I'll sort of quote the innovator's dilemma, right? Which is there's both sustained innovation and disruptive innovation that's coming with AI, right? The sustained innovation is those sort of marginal gains that are improving existing processes, whether it be the customer support center and answering questions faster, prioritizing areas and using, you know, areas of machine learning to operate faster. I think those are the areas where you can improve your finance organization leveraging AI. Then there's also the disruptive innovation, right? The areas where, you know, supplier onboarding is completely, you know, reinvented because of new language models, because of, you know, contract management and new ways to think through contract management because of generative AI. And so now is an exciting time, and it's an early time in AI where we're still, I would say, learning a lot about how the different ways that we can be using it. But certainly, as we are leveraging AI across our organization and for our customers, it's ways to both find incremental improvements within the within our technology, as well as disrupt things that we're already doing.
Yeah, and we have that conversation about AI all the time. It's clearly the topic that everybody wants to talk about. And one of the things that we do know is AI, not a magic wand. It's not going to be something that's going to fix problems that already exist in an organization. The other thing, though, that I like that Jeff mentioned is that phrase about those incremental gains, those marginal gains. What's interesting is that when we see AI being offered and being used everywhere, if everybody is using that tool, then the gain that everybody gets is going to be basically, you know, it's going to be the same across all organizations. There's not going to be any incremental benefit that anybody's getting. So what that is going to depend upon is, are you using the tool in either A, ways that nobody else is doing? So are you being creative? Are you finding things that your competitors aren't? And that's going to be an important part of the discussion. And that's going to be, you know, we're all going to have to learn how that data that we have is going to be used. But then the other thing is going to be the data set that you're looking at, those models that you're building on top of, and understanding that and learning how to feed that AI. But one of those things that I do think that's really interesting is that discussion about how is AI going to change everything? Well, it's going to change everything for everybody. And so we need to be careful in saying, oh, it's going to change things in a way that gives us advantages, because that's not necessarily what the tool is going to do if it's going to be widely dispersed. It's going to be back on the business itself to understand those language models, to understand how the tool can be used in ways, again, that competitors aren't using it. And then I will say this, do it relatively soon, because there will be some first mover advantage in those folks that are using it early and understanding how to use it early in their businesses.
Yeah, I agree.
You've both covered a lot of ground thus far. As we come to an end, Jeff, James, any final thoughts, any key takeaways that you want to leave the listeners with? Jeff, I'll start with you.
Coming back to where we started, I'll sort of quote U.S. Bank survey where 45% of CFOs say they're just starting their digital transformation journey. To me, this is just an area ripe for CFOs and areas in the CFO office to look at the landscape, which is way more complicated than it's been since the financial crisis, with, you know, interest rates rising, you know, cash flow becoming king, if you will. And so no matter where you are in this digital transformation journey, start thinking about your payment strategy. Make sure you're thinking about customers and how you're treating those customers, thinking about how you're working with your vendors and digitizing both payments and invoices with those vendors. And look for the areas that you can drive the most amount of change in your organization, whether it be working capital, whether it be security and risk mitigation, or just finding ways to automate, you know, those paper-based processes that are kind of sticking in your organization right now. So big opportunity for CFOs right now. There's tons of white space in this market. And in the US, there's $32 trillion of spend that's flowing around that is, you know, both opportunity, but, you know, riddling organizations with room for improvement. So thank you for this time.
James, did you want anything to add? If not, I'll...
Actually, I will. I had one thing that I just want to reiterate one of the things Jeff said that I find really interesting. We've been talking about digital transformation for a really, really long time. It feels like. But the fact of the matter is, there is a lot of white space. We are still at the beginning of what's happening. And that is both shocking in some ways to think we've talked about it this long, and yet there is still so much white space. But it's also, I think, a really important message to send to folks in the decision-making space when they're looking at that digital transformation. This is the time to do it. Make those priorities. Figure out those areas on white space, on those maps where you know you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck, and make those decisions. Just because there is a lot of white space doesn't mean that other companies in your space aren't going out there and doing these same things. So it is an important time to look at that payment strategy and look at that idea of digital transformation and start making those moves if you haven't already.
Thank you both again for your great insights, and thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.